You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
And welcome to a special edition of Alouette's Flight Deck. We are sponsored by Bad Monkey Popcorn, Tim Kepper, and Cliffy D on the other side. Obviously, this is something, you know, you said on Twitter today, it's like, well, there goes your day. And this started early because you texted me this morning. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? You know, I don't have my Twitter thing set up. I should, I guess, set it up so I just get Alouettes, you know, hashtags or stuff like that. You know, I didn't set up that thing on my Twitter yet. So,
I don't have it set up either. I mean, literally, I can't even drive to work. I can't even go in and put an honest day's work without some sort of crazy news happening. I'm driving to work and listening on the radio, and they just drop a bombshell of a news story. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, TSN 690, you know, Tony Marino actually broke it. And it was, you know, as you said today, it was confirmed. If anybody doesn't know, by the way, there's been a head coaching change in Montreal. Why else would we be doing a special episode?
Yep. And not just a head coaching change, but also a defensive coordinator change as well. In fact, you can pretty much see it as perhaps the house cleaning has begun, as both Jacques Chapdelaine and Noel Thorpe, who is also the assistant head coach of the Alouettes, both gentlemen have been relieved of their duties. And now, going forward for the rest of the season, it will be general manager Cavis Reed who will now be assuming the head coaching duties.
Everything old is new again. Did we go through this last year?
I know, right? The head coach or the general manager is also the head coach. Remember, we were supposed to be getting away from that, but no, we're right back into it. Just a different fella that's doing the job now.
Yeah, I'm looking here. Episode 16 of the Alouettes Flight Deck from 2016. That's where it is. You sure we just can't play that episode now? We can just you know, dub out the names. They'd be like, since that, you know, coming up to Jim Pop, he'd be like, Cavis Reed. Sorry, you're saying, and so our new coaches on the sideline are, besides Cavis Reed, who is now our interim, and he specifically said that interim head coach, OC is now AC again.
Well, not officially. Essentially, Anthony Calfield is going to be calling the offensive plays,
okay,
but they're not actually saddling him with the offensive coordinator tag.
Okay, but yet for our new DC, they did.
Yeah, now the new defensive coordinator is going to be Greg Quick, who had been our linebackers coach, actually this year, it's kind of weird how it's kind of worked out under Noel Thorpe, is his assistants, Jason Hogan, Billy Parker and Greg Quick, they've all been just called defensive coaches, like not specifically naming any one particular area that they sort of handle. They've all just been sort of defensive coaches. So now Greg Quick, who was a defensive coach, is now the defensive coordinator, and he'll be handling those duties until the end of the season.
I was listening to the, you know, episode 16 from last year to try to see what our reactions were, and they were actually a little bit different than what they are now, because you and I were actually quite stunned when that happened last year. This time around, it was more of a shake my head type of thing and roll my eyes. I'm thinking, what else? You know, it's – but after hearing how everybody was talking today, you know, Joey Alfieri was on the radio quite a bit. I was listening to TSN 690 this morning. You know, some of the asshats in the French media who tried to put a different type of spin on this, but that's not what this is about. What's your take on this? Because you and I have been talking about some very interesting things before we started the show, and a lot of it made sense. You know, everybody is saying that it really should not have been Chapdelaine from day one. At least some people are, but I think it's just a matter of the record doesn't speak for itself. I mean, if you are 3-8, you do have the right to get fired. You have the right to get fired at any time, even at 0-1. But the I guess they find out there needs to be a change. They wanted to do a complete overhaul that they could during the regular season. And let's see, anything from shade from former players, which there was a ton of shade thrown by former players that was still on Twitter and deleted from Twitter. What's your take on this, Cliff? I mean, it's obviously something had to be done. I mean, it's funny how things have changed in 24 hours since we did the last podcast.
You're right. I mean, like 24 hours ago, we're sitting with our good friend Safamod from the Piffles podcast talking about, you know, we sort of hashed out of some of these things of what's going on with how I personally feel it's got to start with ownership and it's got to trickle all the way down. Because at the golf tournament, it was yesterday or the day before, pretty much talked about how no one's job is safe. And boy, did that ever come true.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, like,
foreshadowing much?
Just a little. I mean, we've talked about this too throughout the season, is that as the Alouettes have gone on game after game of just absolutely putrid offense, and the defense has been pretty outstanding for the most part, but that too now is really starting to show a lot of chinks in the armor, to the point now where they've looked porous against BC and even against Ottawa during the last home game. I mean, when you get 30 plus points hung on you week after week after week.
Yeah, Toronto too. I mean, some of these, you know, these losing deficits are just, they just have to stop. And yeah.
And again, 3-8, you are what your record says you are. And unfortunately, it doesn't bode well. And while I do think the world of Noel Thorpe as a defensive coordinator, it really came down to a couple of things with him. One, he was still under contract and was – let's not forget, Noel Thorpe tried to bolt because he wasn't being named the head coach.
That's right.
At the end of the 2015 season, he tried to leave and go to Edmonton
and, the CFL and be their defense. And CFL had to step in.
Yeah, CFL stepped in and said, no. You two have to play nice. You signed a contract. You got to honor it. The Alouettes, you signed this guy to a contract. You got to honor it. So this was a tenuous situation.
It was his last year too, though. So does it really surprise you that they fired him?
It does, in the sense that I didn't think he was a problem. I mean, like I said, you take a look at the defense of the Alouettes, and like I said, the past couple of games, it hasn't looked super great, but neither has the offense, and the defense can only be asked to do so much during a game. So for it to fall strictly on Thorpe wouldn't be fair at all. And it's also not fair to really just blame everything on Chapdelaine, but at the end of the day, if you're not producing points, and if you're allowing points to be scored, then we got a problem. And sure enough, that's what's been going on in Montreal for the past few weeks, is you're not scoring points and you're allowing points to get scored on you. Was that equal? Losses. Lots of losses. And at 3-8, even in this absolute dog's breakfast of an Eastern division, that still clearly wasn't good enough. And move had to be made. I mean, Noel Thorpe was going to be gone at the end of the season, win, lose, or draw. Chapdelaine, he would have had to have really pulled a real miracle out of his ass to keep his job at this point, because it really came across as he had lost the room. He had not had the confidence in his players. We're hearing reports now after the fact that players were begging him, like, please do something. Like, you got to open the playbook up. You got to find a way to get this play going. You got to get these guys involved. And it's the same lousy plays over and over again. So these French journalists that want to make it a language thing, give me a break. At 3-8, it doesn't matter what language you speak. If you're not a good coach, you're not a good coach. And I'm sorry to say, there was a time where I was willing to buy into Chapdelaine. Let's see what he can do. Let's give him a chance. Well, guess what? The Alouettes gave him a chance. And I hate to say it, but it didn't work out. You can blame any number of things.
Language was not it.
That would have to be the very bottom of the list, is the whole language thing.
You know, if it were been the Montreal Canadiens and they would have done that, they would, whether the guy was of French Canadian origin or not, they still would have blasted him either way. So it's, you know, I feel it's like a double standard. And unfortunately, in Quebec, you have to live with that garbage. You know, that's one of the extra fun things when it comes to sports and politics and just overall BS. It's nothing to do. Sports is nothing. Language and sports do not mix. I don't care what anybody says. I'm sorry.
There's only, There's only one language that matters when it comes to sports: winning.
The ring.
The ring.
So it's championships. So yeah, it's very interesting to see how some of this stuff is coming out now that it was not so hunky dory in the locker room. You start off at 4-2 like you did last year. Everything seems to be going well. The strange thing too is that with the turnover at the end of the year, with Jim Pop leaving, bringing Cavis Reed, it makes you look at the actual quote unquote, and I'm doing some on purpose, quote unquote hiring process to bring in Chapdelaine. The question is, was Cavis Reed strong armed to keeping Chapdelaine? Was he asked just to give him a fair share or a fair shake at it? This time around, Cavis has actually said that he's just interim. Now, I don't know if he has a Jim Pop complex. We'll find out. But I would believe him when he would say that there's going to be a change and there's going to be somebody new at head coach next year, because there are a lot of people out there who know people, who know Cavis Reed, who I'm sure, the Rich Stubler thing popped up today, where there may be somebody who he may have in mind who is a CFL-minded quarterback. Not saying Chapdelaine wasn't, but just a matter of, start anew, and it bears the question that you've been talking about too, by the way: does AC last this purge? But that could be for another day. But I'm just saying it makes you wonder. You think Cavis is going to go based on what he said? Is he going to hire somebody completely new?
I think outside of the
organization.
I think now and again, when ownership hires someone to be their general manager, president, head coach, what have you, when you hire football people, you have to trust your football people. I was actually thinking about this, and I think we even talked about it yesterday on the flight deck, is that Andrew Wettenhall, as he progresses more and more into the ownership role of the Montreal Alouettes, has been sticking his nose into the football side of things. When you hire football people, you have to trust that the people you hire are going to make the right decisions. Yet he keeps on sticking his nose in and doing the hiring for his people. And just say, hey, listen, I got you this guy. I got you that guy. Play nice now. Like, it doesn't work that way. If your general manager doesn't have faith, if he doesn't get a chance to choose his staff and is essentially saddled with all of these other people that he may or may not believe in, then what do you expect is going to happen? So for Cavis, I have to believe that he's going to want to really make this team in his own image. He's done that for the most part by letting a lot of very beloved players go and bringing in a lot of his own players that he feels are what it's going to take for the Alouettes to be successful again. So he's done that part of things, but he's still stuck with the same coaching staff, which this year has not lived up to expectations at all. I mean, this was a team that was designed to win now, and they are not winning now. And as this cookie crumbles further, wins are definitely going to be – it's going to be hard. It's really hard to see now that light at the end of the tunnel. So at the end of the season, however the season ends, and I hate to say it, but I mean, it's not looking all that good. I mean, again, nothing would make me happier than to be proven wrong and that this somehow works and they just – even if they just stumble into the playoffs and make it to the Eastern semifinal, the final, or even the Grey Cup, God forbid. No matter what, at the end of the day, it's got to come down to who's going to be the best fit. Who does Cavis Reed truly see as part of this coaching staff? And he was stuck with Thorpe. He was stuck with Chapdelaine. He was stuck with Kelvio. He's stuck with a lot of these guys. And I'd say at this point, you got to go clean sweep. And if that means saying goodbye to a legend like Anthony Kelvio, we said goodbye to Noel Thorpe, who, like I said, has done a phenomenal job in turning this team around and re-identifying itself as a defensive powerhouse. You've already done that. You've already cut that cord. Do you have the balls to cut an Anthony Kelvio loose? Jim Popp certainly didn't. He really thought that AC deserved to be a part of this team, and so did the Wettenhall family. At what point do you turn to your bosses and say, listen, do you want me to run this team properly, or are you just going to keep meddling in and foisting all these people upon me? The one thing I have to say to Andrew Wettenhall is stay in your fucking lane. Sign the goddamn checks. Let your football people do the job and leave it at that. I just what have you done in the past 4 years? You hired Dan Hawkins. You hired Tom Higgins. You hired – and every single time that's fallen flat on its face, you come running back to Jim Popp to try and save everything. And then guess what happens? He takes on too much responsibility. He gets he's spread way too thin. And everything falls apart yet again. You're bringing in the wrong talent. You're bringing in the wrong coaches. You're bringing in people that – you're letting good, honest people go.
I was about to say, are you letting good – but can you put that on the coaching staff though? Because, you know, Kavis lets a lot of these people go, and it makes you wonder too. Would a Bear Woods still be here if Chapdelaine, was not head coach this year? Would an S.J. Green have stayed? I mean, it's all speculation, obviously, but, you know –
For me, it's not about whether if they would have stayed, would they be as successful as what they are? I mean,
it makes you wonder. It makes you, and I heard this a couple times today. Would S.J. Green be as productive this year under the current offense?
I'll say no.
Yeah, I think it's a very good question, and I agree with you. I don't think he would be, and they would say, oh well, he's past his prime. He's not 100%. But
I'll go so far as to say that Ernest Jackson and S.J. Green are 1A, 1B as far as the type of receivers that they are, as far as their cachet in the league, as far as the kind of receivers that they are. I think you could exchange one for the other and you wouldn't miss a beat. And look what Ernest Jackson has done here in Montreal. Like the fact that the Alouettes coaching staff, and this is, I am putting this on the coaching staff. You've turned Ernest Jackson, a Grey Cup champion, a multiple time All-Star. You've turned him into a nobody. That takes talent. You have to work hard to take someone as talented as he and turn him into a ghost. That to me is unconscionable. That you could do it, and you did it so well. Of all the things that you could do well this season, that's what you do well. You've got a Grey Cup winning quarterback in Darian Durant who looks like a shell of his former self. He does not look like a Darian Durant. He looks like any scrub that you can pick up at a pickup football game.
Yeah,
he does not look like a CFL All Star. He does not look like a legend.
No, and it has to be because, I mean, we talked about it yesterday in the last episode of Flight Deck. It just look how piss poor these Alouettes are have been in the fourth quarter. I mean, in the first quarter, nothing. There's nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
You know, no points at all. So it's,
and again, the players have to assume a lot of the blame for that as well. Absolutely, but you know, at the end of the day, the players aren't coming up with the plays themselves. It's not like they're decided. You know what? I don't give a shit what the coach says, I'm going to throw the ball 30 yards downfield and just try and stop me. It doesn't work that way. Like, the players go with the plays that are called, and when they don't work and they're looking, how many times have you actually watched the players both on offense and defense kind of look over to the sideline and say, as if say, what are we doing? What?
Yeah.
Oh, and then they got to react right away. And again, certain offenses and certain coaches can pull that off, but the players have to be behind it as well. And it was clear as day.
Yeah, it just seemed it wasn't the case.
It was not the case at all. And
by the way, one of the people who was very open and about how much he trusts these people was Nick Lewis. I think it just came over late on Twitter tonight where he was praising Kavis, Wet and all. I'm trying to remember who else he said. I'm trying to look up his tweet now as we speak. So,
well, he pretty much here. I'll sum it up for you. He pretty much believes in everybody right now in the Alouettes organization. Like he's backing them.
Yep.
As pretty much the Wettenhall family and everybody else that's involved in the team. Like he's got their back.
Here it is. If you thought my book was going to be interesting before, just wait. I'm in full support of Kavis, Patrick, Bob, and Andrew Wettenhall. Hashtag bird life.
Well, I tell you, Nick, I love you, buddy. But I mean, I wish I had your faith, man. Right now, I can't even say my faith is shaken. I'm just kind of in this like this cloud, essentially, as far as this team goes. Like, obviously, I want it to do well. Obviously, I still support this Alouettes organization. But when you keep throwing up all over yourself and stumbling around like a drunken idiot, at what point does it stop being funny?
Yeah.
I think we've reached that point. I think we reached it a long time ago.
Oh, we have. I mean,
there's nothing comical about this. I mean, everybody's having a laugh right now. Everybody else in the Canadian Football League is laughing at us. You know what we are? The LOLettes, the Lolettes. That pisses me off.
I like that actually. That's
pretty good. Okay, it is funny, but I mean,
that's funny. We're not lol.
When people in half.
Oh, that's funny. And this, you know, this week it's the Lolettes versus the Lolcats. Anyways, I tried. Didn't work, did it?
I'll give you A for effort. That wasn't bad. You tried.
I know. Yeah, I know. We have to talk about – there's a lot to talk about. And one of the things that I had noticed – you brought it up too, and we had to at least mention this in this special episode – is, you know, everybody really didn't think much about AC being down on the field because, you know, it's okay. You have the quarterback's coach down there and he's wanting to help. But there was a very interesting tidbit that you had noticed in his in AC's presser today. And it really puts things into perspective when you hear what he said. So, in paraphrase, what did he mention today?
Well, in no uncertain terms, he pretty much talked about the fact that he had been, while he was quarterback's coach, he was in his own mind learning, or I guess he saw himself as an offensive coordinator, and he was actually putting together his own sort of play calling, his own set of plays. And that comment really stuck with me in the sense that, well, are you planning to go rogue? This kind of undermines everything that Chapdelaine is doing. Like, I mean, I'm willing to bet that maybe AC was not the biggest fan of having his offensive coordinator duties stripped from him last year and given to Chapdelaine, who was just the receivers coach last year, but then all of a sudden gets bumped way up to head coach / offensive coordinator, even though Chapdelaine does have a lot of experience in the Canadian Football League as a coach, especially offensive coordinator, versus AC, who was only his, third year as a coach at that point, And even then, he was sort of bounced around, and his whole coaching career has just been so badly mishandled. Like, how is he not discouraged? I don't know, because I feel for AC, because I love AC the player, I love AC the man, but AC the coach has just, it's just been misstep after misstep, and it's not his fault.
He hasn't gotten his real fair shake because of all the hot garbage that we've been going through here in Montreal for the past 3-4 seasons. So I
don't blame AC at all for where he's at as far as a coach goes. I mean, I was pretty critical earlier about saying, as far as him being a quarterback's coach, like he was supposed to be developing the future at quarterback, and instead they just ship off the young guys and bring in a Drew Willey. And I thought maybe that's the kind of quarterback that he wants to quote unquote develop. To me, I wasn't too sure about that.
Yeah, especially when we had a Brandon Bridge, we had a Vernon Adams, we had a Rakeem Cato, we had Jonathan Crompton. You know what I mean?
These were young, exciting quarterbacks that played a much more mobile style than what AC did, especially towards the...
Tanner Marsh, too. Can't forget about Tanner.
Yep, of course. But all of these quarterbacks that you just mentioned are all young, fairly mobile quarterbacks that were raw, super raw, but had the talent, had potential at least, that could be molded. And someone like an AC should have been able to take that talent and really done something with it. But instead, nothing really came of it. And instead, now he's kind of trying to groom Drew Willey, who, like I said, is who he is. He's middling at best. And I guess he's hoping to pull a Trestman and just make a couple little tweaks here and there. And all of a sudden, Drew Willey is going to be the next Anthony Calvillo. Maybe that's his coaching style. I don't know. I sincerely hope not. I mean, I really wanted to believe in my heart of hearts that Anthony Calvillo could be the guy that's going to help groom the next future quarterback of this football team. But now I just – between that and now hearing word that he's coming up with his own plays and almost trying to undermine, if you will, Jacques Chapdelaine as a head coach, I mean, that's a bad look all around. And that's just the kind of environment that this football team has become a part of. And that's some scary stuff when you think about it. I mean, it almost feels like Anthony knows that he's expected to be the head coach and lead this team one day. And maybe he will get that opportunity, but I mean, as far as this move goes, I mean, it seems so hinky as far as I'm concerned.
To me, I'm looking at it a different direction, that maybe he had the opportunity and he said, you know what, I had a chance last year and I really was not prepared because I was just thrown into it the way that I was, especially with him, you know, being the OC, then the co-OC, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This time around, it looked like he's taking it a little bit different. He says, I'm looking at the quarterbacks and I am the quarterback's coach, but if I were the OC, what would I do? What would I do? And like I said in many shows, I said it in the last episode, is that, you know, the first 15 plays are usually scripted, usually. So it's, Yeah, maybe he was saying, well, maybe if I tried this thing or tried this thing, because it really makes me wonder what's going to happen come Sunday now in how they're going to create this. And what I think is funny, by the way, it's the day that they're, you know, that they're paying homage to this 425 squadron again. And it's like, oh, look, all these changes, and they had to call in the Army. So it's going to be interesting. It really is. And we just got to stop some of this stuff. We need a real head coach. It's really frustrating when, you know, our friend Steve Daniel, who's the, you know, CFL statistician, says that this is the first team in CFL history to fire their head coach in three straight years in a row. And exactly. and you added to that saying 4 out of 5.
Yeah, 4 head coaches out of 5 years. I mean, that's terrible. And again, it all comes back to what I've been saying about ownership. Why are they making the football decisions when you've got football people in place? And you know what? Will Cavis Reed be a great general manager? Maybe, but we'll never truly know if you don't let him make his calls. And again, we don't know if he's got some great young offensive guru in mind or if he's just going to be hiring his old cronies. Who knows? I mean, that's a risk you take when you're hiring a general manager, is they're going to hire the people that they feel comfortable with. And that's their right. Jim Popp did the exact same thing. He hired people that he felt comfortable with.
Yeah.
Every general manager does that. So either you have to trust your general manager, or if you're not going to let them do that, if you're going to say, okay, well, yeah, you could be the general manager if you want, but you got to keep this guy and you got to keep that guy. Oh, and that guy better be on your staff too, or it's just not going to work out. You can't do that. And I really do think that Cavis must have gone to them and said, listen, I tried to play by your rules. I tried to have these guys on the staff, and look what happened. Maybe if you let me hire my own people, things will be different. And I guess this truly is Cavis's get out of jail free card. I mean, but he's going to have to make the right move. He cannot, whoever he hires to be the head coach, and especially if he does end up cleaning house and replacing the staff entirely, whoever he hires, he cannot screw this up. And it can't be him. I'm sorry to say, but Cavis can't be the coach full time.
Okay. Now
you saw what happened with Jim Popp doing it. And you actually went so far as to make a point that I'm the general manager and that's the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in the general manager's chair. I got to let the coaches do their thing. That's what Cavis had said at the start of the season. And well, as it stands right now, you sort of broke your word on that one. And okay, fine. That's the way the situation's played out. So be it. But come the end of the season, however the season ends, Cavis Reed has to be able to say, you know what? I helped you guys out. I bailed you out, whatever the case may be. Now you got to let me do my thing. You got to let me bring in the best possible football people to make the right choices in order for this franchise to be successful. And it can't be me. It cannot be me. I have to focus solely on general managing duties. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
And it's funny that what we're watching too, by the way, everybody's, you know, second judging and questioning Andrew Wettinall, Cavis Reed. But what they need to understand now is with what the fans are going through, Cliff, to take, I guess, one of the terms that you know that everybody seems to be using today, fans are keeping receipts. We're going to remember this. It's not something – we're going to have proof that if you say something and you go totally against it, we'll pull that one out of our pocket and say, look what you said before. What do you have to say? What do you have to say for yourself? So we're keeping receipts, guys.
And again, I'm very curious to see what the attendance is going to be like on Sunday. Yeah, with everything that's gone down, I mean, things were bad before, and you had to wonder if we were still going to get that 18,000. Is it going to be worse? I mean, this is.
I thought it was funny that the Owls put out something today. I guess it was a normally scheduled thing about 7 reasons why to show up to the game. And it says, you know, to join 21,000 people. I'm thinking, what do you know that we don't? You know, I understand it's the first Sunday game. Ottawa's in town, so they'll be traveling well. So are we going back to the days where we have quote unquote sellouts?
Yeah, quote unquote. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
So,
well, I mean, unless you're planning to get a whole bunch of those Oscar seat fillers like they have at award shows. I don't see 21,000 showing up.
I'm a placard. I'm a placard, baby. Hey, listen, so, by the way, we have to at least mention, Cavis Reed has had, by the way, first of all, going from the special teams coordinator to GM to now interim head coach, in that short span, that would be, I mean, just going from the special teams coordinator to GM is a stretch. But then, anyways, but Kavis Reed does have head coaching experience, and people need to remember this if you didn't know it already.
Well, Jesus, Murphy, did you not see everybody? Again, first thing comes up, consequences. Replaying that video of him as when he was the head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos having his meltdown. That's what people remember. When you talk about Kavis Reed, it's not about the outstanding work he's done as a special teams coach. It's not about the fact that the players, by and large, do buy into what he's saying. It's all this extracurricular stuff that people bring up. And you know what? Before it was okay because you could laugh at the Edmonton Eskimos because that was their problem back then. But you know what? Now this is Montreal's thing. And now we become the low-hanging fruit. Now we become that easy target because now it's like, oh, if people don't play Kavis this way, consequences. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, so,
And then we got to eat that sandwich. And that sucks, quite frankly. I think we deserve better than that, quite frankly. I mean, and this all could have been avoided. And I'll say it again. I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. It starts right at the top at ownership. Hire the right football people.
Yeah.
And let the football people make the football decisions. You make the money decisions. You sign the paychecks. If you don't like what your football people are doing, you got the right to get rid of them. Absolutely. Yeah. But at the same time, you've got to have faith. You got to give them a chance.
You do. But the Wet Nuts have always been very hands-on. You and I both know that. They've always been hands-on when it comes to the hiring decisions. Even when Pop was here. They always had their hand. You know, we've had...
And how many times did Jim Pop bail them out every time? Again, the Dan Hawkins blunder, for example. Tom Higgins, that worked for a little bit.
I had no issues with Tom Higgins. I really didn't.
But yeah, when they were 1-7 and he looked like a deer in the headlights on every play, yeah, no. But once Jim Pop got involved, once you sort of said, you know what, Jim, you fix it, and guess what? He did. He was the one who brought in Jeff Garcia in 2014. He brings in a Noel Thorpe. And you know what? I still remember Jeff Reinbold was the defensive coordinator. Remember how that didn't work out and the defense was a joke? Guess what happened? Jim was allowed to bring in Noel Thorpe, and the rest, as they say, is history.
We'll see what happens. Now, as I was thinking about Kavis, to remind everybody, he has 3 years' worth of head coaching experience, 11, 12, and 13 with the Edmonton Eskimos, 11-7 with the Eskimos, and 7-11 in 12, and 4-14 in 13. Lost the West Final the first year, lost the Eastern Semifinal the next year. I think it was to us. 2012, was that to us?
Toronto, actually.
Oh, yeah. So they did the crossover, and they failed to qualify in their next year. So, you know, he's 22-32 overall. It's funny. I think Edmonton righted their ship as of 2014. So, Kawhi, quarterbacks. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, Jacques won his first game as a head coach, as an interim head coach. I think Arash Madani today stated that since Mark Trestman left, the basically over-under for head coaches since then have been about 20 and a half games.
Sounds about right.
Which is just over a season, which is pathetic. You know, before that, we constantly had, you know, our head coaches... They did well, but the team was doing well. You know, before Trestman, I think if you've been an Alouettes fan long enough, you know, besides Jim Pop inserting himself in as head coach before Trestman came in, you know, you had Don Matthews. There's a name everybody knows and loves. Very good head coach. He was the head coach for forever.
And again, a Jim Pop move.
Yeah, Rod Rust. I think that was a debacle. You know, started off well and then went into the crapper. Charlie Taft, great head coach.
Very good, yes.
Yeah, and Dave Ritchie.
Dave Ritchie, also a very good head coach as well.
What was Coach Price's first name?
Bob.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, Bob Price when they came back to Montreal. So,
and that's the thing. This comes to a point. I'm glad you sort of brought this up because I've been saying for years now that Montreal Alouettes fans. We're spoiled rotten.
We
for
are.
The most
and
part.
I remember I joked about it last night. Are we turning into Atlanta Braves fans? I joke about it, but it's true.
We're almost turning into Cleveland Browns fans, for Christ's sake.
No.
How many?
No, there's no way in hell. There's no way in hell. because
what's the over under for paper bags being worn on heads?
No,
we're going to see on Sunday.
As I saw it on Twitter, anybody who listens to this and is going to the game, go to Dollarama, go to the party stores and buy a rainbow wig. I'm dead serious.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You invite enough clowns, you're bound to end up with a circus.
So, you know what? Don't be surprised if you see me. Hey, if I get them for a butt cliff or something like that, I will buy one for you, for Manon, for my friend Chris. I'll buy one for Steve. You know, hey, if you maybe a Ryder fan, Steve, but you don't have to wear a watermelon. You can easily join in. Question of, what will be the ratio of rainbow wigs to paper bags on the head?
It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. That's all there is to it. I just don't
I
see
like
how
surprised.
You can.
I would hopefully that we will be surprised. I'm hoping we'll be surprised.
Look, this is the CFL. Stranger things have happened, but this is not a recipe for success. This is what I keep saying. For years, we've been spoiled by having a great general manager in Jim Popp who knew his football up and down, knew to stay out of the way for the most part. I mean, the few times he had to head coach, it didn't work out that great, but he took over knowing that he had someone better waiting in the wings. He had a Don Matthews. He had a Mark Trestman. He was able to put that into place, and Montreal would win. We had a great quarterback in Anthony Calvillo. Since Trestman left and since Calvillo left, you see a lot more of the Wet Hulls sticking their nose into the Alouettes business, and it just hasn't worked all that great.
Yeah, but the thing is they can, though.
Of course they can.
I get your point. But I do wish that sometimes, you know, we don't need the Steinbrenners. We don't need, you know, you can be outspoken. You can be controlling, but allow you have hired a football ops staff for a reason.
And if you had all the answers, why don't you make yourself general manager? Why don't you make yourself the head coach?
Okay,
hell, make yourself the quarterback if you want. It's your team, right? I mean, that's the argument you're going to use, right? It's my team and I'm going to run it as I see fit. Well, then why don't you do everything? Why even bother hiring a president, a general manager, or any ops staff for that matter? Just run the whole bloody thing yourself. If you really think you know and have all the answers, great. Go ahead. But what's going to happen as a result?
Yeah.
There's a reason why you have these people in place. If you don't trust them, why did you hire them? Then again, it's not the fans. It's not like the fans voted them in. It's not like running for president of the United States or prime minister of Canada. The people don't vote the general manager in. They don't vote the head coach in. You as the owner, you instill them. You put them in place. So you've got – if they succeed, you succeed. If they fail, you fail. And one way or another, you've got to own it. And that's really what it comes down to is you've got to realize that every time you sort of stick your nose in the business, it doesn't quite work out all that well. Maybe let the Jim Pops and the Cavis Reeds and whomever that you entrust with on the football side of things, maybe let them run it. It may not go exactly the way you thought it would, and you may stumble a little bit on the way. But if you truly believe in these people and you let them do their job, if they've got the experience to do the job properly, which Jim Popp certainly did. And again, Kavis Reed does have a lot of overall football experience. Clearly not a whole lot as general manager because some of the moves that he's made have been a little questionable. Or maybe we're just not quite understanding the logic behind it. But you know what? That's part of the
problem. Yeah, it is. That's what's part of the problem. I totally agree with you, Cliff. It's just we have to decide as fans what we're – I'm sure we can only take so much, right? I mean unfortunately, that's what we're living with. So now we have talked at length right now, and there's really not more I think that we can say, Cliff, that we're going to start repeating ourselves over and over again. So again, it is going to be an interesting week.
It's already been an interesting week.
Yeah, I know. So we will see what happens this coming weekend. We will obviously, if something else comes up, we will be here to talk to you about it and have our second special show. but other than that, I think the only thing I can really say is with these changes, Cliff, I just hope that they get their together. That's all I can hope for. That's all I can wish for. That's all I can pray for. We just need to have the changes that we did, and unfortunately, we'll have to take it from there, right? So.
And I think these changes were coming. I think they just came a little sooner. And I guess the idea is let's get it over with now. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid. Get it over with now. Just do it. do it now and we'll worry about the rest later, which is definitely not the way to run a professional football organization. But right now there's just so much upheaval, so many moving parts to all this that it's going to take a long time to really sit and figure things out. But at the end of the day, just go out and win. There's got to be a way. Like, if this is what's going to take to win, then so be it. We're just going to have to put up with it as fans, as supporters, as anyone who wants to see this football team do well. We're just going to have to take our medicine yet again. It sucks because we don't deserve this. As people that buy the tickets, buy the merch, and do everything Alouettes, it's so hard. And I just hope that somehow, some way, this organization manages to pull their head out of their own ass and get it figured out. That's the only thing we can really hope for at the end of the day.
That's right. And, you know, I guess we can just say stay strong, Alouette fans. And we'll take it from there. So, Cliff, I will see you Sunday. I love Sunday football in the CFL.
I love it, too. Let's face it.
It's going to be nice. It's summer here again. So, I mean,
that's the thing. And you know what? Look at last year. Last year when Chapdelaine made his head coaching debut, it was a relatively nice day. It was a Sunday. Stranger things have happened, right, folks? I'm trying here.
And it was versus an Eastern Division opponent.
True. So
well, I said
whose premier quarterback was knocked out the week previous and had to rely on a backup that was suspect at best. So I don't know. Maybe lightning does strike twice in the same place.
We'll find out. So we thank you guys for joining us for this special episode of Alouette's Flight Deck. So for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach. Take off.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.